Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and I've brought along with me my very special friend.
Anyone I know?
I think so. Sounds has a voice similar to yours.
Good. Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
And if you get our email, you would know that tonight our guest is Marilyn Monroe, and I'm expecting an interesting message from her tonight. And just in case you're not familiar with our work, all of you surely know what Marilyn Monroe looks like. So put that image in your mind's eye and place your consciousness in the heart chakra. And when Richard discusses what her energy is like, you might feel it. And that would be fun, wouldn't it? Richard?
Yes. So I call her forth. I experience her as with a very loving energy, not a particularly powerful energy, but a loving energy, a love energy. Vital, lively, you might say. Not, as I said, not that powerful, not that complex, but this beautiful, lively, vital, loving energy. A little left of center. I think that's the essence of it, Carolyn.
That's wonderful. And I hope the people in the audience were able to experience some of that also. And so what message does she have for us?
Guess we'll find out.
Indeed.
It is my pleasure to join the two of you and your audience on your beautiful radio show tonight. Some of you that have been following this work for some time will know that I came forth with Carolyn some 6 or so years ago with a message, and so it is a great pleasure to come forth once more. Indeed, some of you might know that I contributed to one of Carolyn's ebooks. And so it is a connection, in a sense, to this work that I have had for some time. And as I come forth tonight, there are several areas I wish to cover. Firstly, I wish to revisit some of the subjects that I covered with Carolyn some 6 years ago, and also to talk a little about the similarities and differences between the time when I was, you might say, on the world stage and your time. So I wanted to talk a little about my life, because there has been a great deal of speculation about the path that I walked, and you might say who I was, as well as my relationship with the Kennedy brothers, because, as I say, there's been a great deal of speculation. And those that have studied my life will understand that I had a challenged childhood, you might say. And it is true that I got caught up in, is perhaps the best way to express it, the Hollywood machine. And even back in those days, I am afraid to say that mind control was widely utilized within the world of Hollywood and actors and actresses. And I can assure you it has not lessened to any extent today. Indeed, it is perhaps rather more intense, rather more involved and involving more people than it did in my time. And it is also true that I was involved with John Kennedy in particular. And it is fair to say that part of that involvement arose from the mind control interference that was part of my experience, part of my programming. And some of you may have read the work of Kathy O'Brien and her husband in relation to mind control and what were termed presidential candidates, presidential individuals who both provided sexual favors to presidents as well as undertook some secretive work. In my time, the role was a little more simple, but certainly I fell into that world, you might say, as it existed at that time. In Kathy's time, it was more complex and more difficult and more involved than was the case in my time. And indeed, it is fair to say that my death was not of natural causes, and that there were those who were close to John Kennedy who wanted to see me removed from the stage and indeed took the necessary actions to ensure that this occurred. And I'm not blaming anyone. It is not a useful thing to do. It is simply a reflection of the life and the path that I walked. I was dispensable and I was becoming a risk, you might say. My programming and my direction was not as well structured as certainly it would be today with the kind of tools that are used for this kind of programming and work. But certainly I was subject to that, and as I say, I had been deemed to be a risk. And so I was dispensed with. It was as simple as this. And some might say I had a sad life because of this, and to an extent this is true. But also there were great highlights in my life. I enjoyed many aspects of the life that I lived. I enjoyed being in the public spotlight. Yes, it was something of a facade, I recognize it, but I felt alive when I was acting. I felt alive when I was fulfilling the roles that I was given in my life. And so I do not wish to dwell on that time any further than what I have expressed here, but rather I want to reflect upon the state of play in America as it is today. We have just moved on from Independence Day yesterday, and so it is a good day to be reflecting on what you might consider the state of the nation. And I would say to you that the world of the United States is a very, very different place from the one in which I was involved, the world that saw JFK seeking to, you might say, act in a truly presidential manner to bring peace to the world, to remove those elements that wanted to see America at war with pretty much anyone, that wanted to, you might say, control the world. And he was acting on many fronts. And with his assassination by forces associated with the military and the CIA and the politics of America, so I would say to you that the last attempt at bringing true leadership to the country in the sense of the true role that I would see for a country and for a president died also. It disappeared with JFK. And as many of you would know, his successor, LBJ, was at the heart of the assassination of JFK. This has now been well documented, though it has not been shown on public television in America because of actions by those parties involved. But nevertheless, it has been researched and documented, and the evidence is unmistakable. And it really was the beginning of a time that continues today, which you might say the key figure in all of this has been the one you would call Daddy Bush today, who really was deeply involved with the CIA even in that time, and in a sense was representing those same forces that his father represented, and indeed was far more powerfully involved. As you know, for a time heading up the CIA, which he'd been involved with from a very young age, despite his claims, and also, of course, becoming president himself. But he was deeply involved in those activities, and his power grew over the years such that the presidents for an extensive period of time were really just figureheads, except for Bush himself. His son was just a figurehead fulfilling the role. Clinton, in a sense, was just a figurehead, an appointment arranged prior to the election, an agreement that was in place between Bush Sr. and Clinton, who were all essentially part of the same cabal, you could use that word. And this has continued on into your time. And there were great hopes held by many for Obama. And there were threads within Obama that wished to act in a different manner. The origin of this man's soul is very much of the light, but he has been deeply enmeshed in the wheels of the processes that drive the way America works today. You live in a time when you really are so close to a police state. This is way, way more advanced in your time than it was in mine. But the threads of it were emerging really with the JFK assassination, although elements of it were already in place. Indeed, the elements of this emerged in America back in the early part of the 20th century. If you understand the impact on the structure of America with the creation of the Federal Reserve, a private bank in 1913, and the power that that gave to the bankers to control and dictate what happened in America, then you would understand that the world of the United States changed with the creation of the Federal Reserve. And indeed, as some of you would understand, the First World War, the Russian Revolution, the Second World War were essentially all funded out of America. And so it is no accident that the Federal Reserve was created in 1913, and the following year we saw the beginning of the First World War. So these forces have been very powerful in America, leading from that creation of the Federal Reserve. Although there were times in the past where the bankers of the world controlled the finances of America. So in many ways, it has all been an unfolding pattern since that time. And JFK came to understand all of this and took a stand against it on many levels and made many, many enemies. And so you have to say his assassination was really not a great surprise. What is perhaps more surprising is that he did not seem to realize the danger in which he'd placed himself. Perhaps he believed that those who would oppose him would not be willing to take such steps, but they were very willing and very able. So really those processes that accelerated dramatically with the demise of JFK, who I came to love very deeply. His demise really saw the acceleration of the control of the political processes from behind the scenes. Presidents have simply been puppets since that time, as I say, with the exception of Daddy Bush, who has been at the heart of all of this, representing the interests of the bankers and that force that he so often spoke of, the New World Order. This, of course, is driven by those very same bankers. And these forces are very strong in your time. If you look closely, you will find that there have been effectively military-style forces created within the domestic policing structures of the country and the, in many cases, the sheriff operations. These have been equipped with paramilitary and military equipment. There is little doubt that there are forces now present right across America that could impose martial law. You have also witnessed, indeed you see it in the daily news, of the way police treat the public today. So many people are killed or maimed by the police supposedly doing their job, and they are protected in doing it. Such things would not have happened in my time, but they are daily occurrences in your world. And this is a reflection of the increased militarization and the training and support that these individuals have to act in this manner. You have the camps that have been set up, the so-called FEMA camps, where people who have been disenfranchised will be moved to if events unfold as these people wish. So I particularly wanted to take a moment to really ensure that you understood how deeply enmeshed, you might say, America has become with the notion of a police state, with a right-wing militarized structure. Today, the president has the power to trigger a drone to kill any American or anyone in the world. And this is a bizarre state of affairs. It has completely lost track of the notion of individual human rights to the extent that they existed in my time. They have been completely destroyed. The false flag event of 9/11 was a key event in this erosion of personal freedoms, you might say. And people willingly gave up those freedoms for what they saw as being protection from terrorists, a notion that was created for the purpose, not because they existed in the past, but indeed they were created for such a purpose. So you need to understand how manipulated your world is, not just in America, but across the planet. And I am not coming forth wanting to be negative. It might sound this way, but I wanted you to understand how deeply manipulated your world has become, far more than it was in my time, although the forces were quite powerful back then. But they have become far more so. And I will say that from what I can tell, from the evidence that I can see, is that these attempts to ultimately control and track every person on the planet and, you might say, determine their destiny, their life at a detailed level, that these attempts will fail because of the changes coming forth in the world. But my focus is not so much on those changes, rather on how the world has, in my view, deteriorated since my time. Truly deteriorated on so many levels. And I just wanted to bring some threads of that forth for you. For those of you that have not taken the time to look at this to any extent, because it truly is very extensive. And there are elements being rolled out that see a great more disenfranchisement of individuals, the so-called Agenda 21 plans, which are being rolled out across the planet, justified by the false notion of human-caused global warming, which of course is a lie in itself. But the real agenda, the Agenda 21 rollout that is happening across the planet, will see the removal of people from the countryside and placed in, for the most part, very small apartment accommodation in large cities. That is the plan. And from there, the reduction of the human population. Make no mistake about the plans of these individuals, and they are very advanced. But I hold the view from where I see things is that as they believe they are about to achieve their ends, so it will be snatched from them. And I just, as I say, wanted to paint that picture in more detail for you so you are clear about the state of your world before the changes come forth. And so it is.
Thank you so much, the two of you. And I was not expecting such a, I guess the word would be political statement, but I think it's something that everyone needs to hear, Marilyn. Can you give us, even though the changes weren't something that you necessarily wanted to discuss, can you give us some indication of what these changes might be?
I believe these have been spoken of on previous shows, and my input to that would be really very little different, and that is that there will be a shift in consciousness emerging, the opportunity for those who are desirous of doing so, and you might say have done the work to be prepared to participate in that shift, to, you might say, leave behind this very dark consciousness that has been set up on the planet and the destruction that has been wrought upon the planet in so many different ways, that those individuals will leave this behind and move to a higher dimension where the potential of what it means to be human will be reactivated and experienced once more.
Thank you. I'd like to invite our audience who might have questions of Marilyn to call in with your question. Just know this hour slips by quickly, and if there's something you really want to know, I would suggest that you call in right away. I'd like to just turn the focus a little bit to you, Marilyn. Did you always wish to be an actress, or was this something that came of a later date?
It was something that was of interest to me from quite a young age. I was drawn to the world of Hollywood. It seemed to me a glamorous world, a world of great opportunity if you could be successful. And so I was drawn to that like a moth to a flame.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was within me from quite a young age.
I suspect that it's very difficult, very hard to get into that kind of profession, that kind of world. How did you get your first break professionally?
The world of Hollywood was a distorted world back then, even though it is more so now. Yes, there are great actors who, if they walk the right path, can be very successful actors without getting caught up in the gears, you might say, the grinding wheels of Hollywood. But I was not so lucky. I, you might say, came up the hard way. I was caught up in the mind control practices relatively early. And so you might say I got my breaks in Hollywood by getting caught inside that machine. And so because I, you might say, conformed to that model, it made my path much easier into the world of movies. And in a sense, it saddens me that I have to tell you this, but that is how that world worked then for many, and indeed still does today. If you scratch the surface, many of the so-called pop singers today and actors and actresses are caught up in this machine on one level or another, many far more than you might imagine, because that world is so deeply controlled and manipulated, far more than you might ever imagine.
Getting back to the political scene for a second, do you see any statesmen on the horizon who are interested in becoming political?
It is my view that the answers do not lie in a statesman coming forth. We saw that demonstrated by JFK's life. There is little doubt that that man stood up as a true statesman and sought to provide leadership to the country in a way that moved the country forward. He was seeking to get America out of Vietnam. He was seeking to, you might say, pull the teeth of the Federal Reserve as he understood what it was doing to the country. He acted to dismiss the leaders of the CIA and told them that he wanted to dismantle the organization and scatter it to the four winds because he understood the role that the CIA played in manipulating America and also, frankly, serving the interests of the bankers. He understood what the CIA was doing. And so he was seeking to provide leadership to America and change the things that he saw was broken. And he paid the price for it. And so the world of politics is far more deeply controlled now than it was then. And he was completely incapable of making a difference back in the early 60s. And so the possibility of doing so today simply does not exist in my view. That world of politics is completely controlled and manipulated from behind the scenes. The power is behind the scenes, not in the roles performed in the public eye.
It sounds like perhaps it is your view that nothing is going to change until there is a new consciousness coming in.
That is my view, and in a sense, that is why I focused on the content of my message, to have you, you might say, understand, or your listeners to understand how deeply manipulated and controlled the world of politics and the world of in which you live now is, such that in my view, it is not possible to change it without a change in consciousness. It is beyond being saved, in my view.
Do you have any sense of when this new consciousness might come into effect?
It is not something that I am as focused on as perhaps some of your previous guests. However, it is my impression that it is very close on your horizon.
Well, that sounds promising. Is it safe to say that the basically the same forces that killed Kennedy were responsible for killing his brother?
Yes. It was the same forces at work, and indeed those same forces have eliminated many other people across the globe who opposed them. these are global forces in the end. Yes, there were elements specifically within the United States that undertook these actions, but indeed they act in many and varied ways to stifle anyone who looks like they might provide leadership on any level to humanity. There have been other individuals who never made it into the political structures because they were unwilling to kowtow to those forces, and so they were assassinated before they ever got into the political structure. This is but an example. And even the recent demise of Aaron Swartz, the young internet guru last year, was subject to the same forces. Yes, you could look at it as being an out-of-control criminal justice system in the United States that was seeking to put him behind bars for 35 years for ridiculous reasons. But in truth, it was recognized that he was a very intelligent young man who wanted to change things, who wanted to be a vehicle for change, not just in a technical sense, but in a political sense. And indeed, that is where he was moving. And indeed, he was very largely responsible for the defeat of the efforts through the so-called SOPA legislation, which was seeking to, in essence, control the internet. And he championed the opposition, which in the end caused that legislation to be defeated. And the forces behind this, which include the Hollywood forces and, of course, those that control all of the music and video content in the world of any value, they were not pleased about this. And they are the same forces that control the money in your world. And so it was no accident that Aaron Swartz was subject to that criminal process that caused him to commit suicide. So there are many examples, and people do not understand the complexity of the game that is played to eliminate these individuals. Another, of course, was Martin Luther King, because he reflected someone who was speaking out to awaken people, to have people stand up and to pursue, you might say, human rights on a broad scale. And so he was shut down by the same forces. They will not allow such individuals to speak out and continue to speak out. They will be removed. It is as simple as that.
That's very dire.
It is dire. It is how the world is run, and most people don't understand this. And that is why I have come forth with what is a dire message to you, because you do need to understand how deeply, deeply controlled and manipulated your world is. It is far more manipulated and controlled than most people even begin to imagine. It is the trick of illusion, you might say, that has been used within America. It is seen as being the land of the free, and yet there is far more control. It is so close to a police state, and you only have to look at the rate of incarceration in America, the highest in the world, to understand that it is not a country that is free. But there is the illusion of freedom that is promoted to people, and many people live what they take to be a free life in the context of this very carefully shaped model. So you might say those who think they are free don't fight against the controls, the the prison cell that they are in fact inside of, because they don't recognize that indeed they are inside a prison cell. And this indeed is the state of play within this beautiful country that has been so carefully and totally led astray.
What advice would you give to people? What are they to do, considering this police state that you're speaking of?
There is little you can do within the context of it, other than focus on being prepared to participate in the shift, which is to come forth in your world. That is the way out of this. There is no real way out of it within the context of this situation. It will not be resolved within it, as has been said by Einstein and repeated by others. You cannot solve problems within the consciousness in which they were created. And this is the situation here. It will not be resolved within this, because most people don't see what is happening. Not enough people will stand up against it, because they don't truly understand the scope of what is happening. But it is changing. It will change. And this is where the hope and the opportunity lies.
Thank you. Yes, I feel like I wanted to give the audience some piece of hope. So it doesn't sound like a lot of hope, but let them know that at least this will change. And from what you're saying, those changes are on the horizon.
Indeed they are. There has been much planning that has gone into this time. Many phases that I did not understand when I was alive. But one of the things that I have done since I have crossed over is to spend time examining human history, examining the patterns of what has occurred on planet Earth and the drivers for this. And it is like, on one level, a tapestry, on another, a dance of consciousness, of times of high consciousness, high awareness, and times of very deep, dark consciousness and awareness. And in many ways, it has never been darker than it is now. But there is that saying that the darkest hour is just before dawn. And in many ways, this is the situation that humanity finds itself in that darkest hour. So it is valuable to understand the nature of that darkest hour, and that is what I've been endeavoring to do with my time with you today, but also to alert you and remind you of the fact that the dawn is quite close. So these two things, in a strange way, are so inextricably connected. It was always thus that it would be very dark before this dawn emerged. But it is emerging, just as the sun rises every day.
And that dawn that you're speaking of, are they the elements of the light beings that are behind us?
Indeed. And the time in which you find yourselves. This is been a long time in the planning, as I have come to understand. It is no accident, you might say, that this situation is as it is. The dark have been given their opportunity to try and control humanity, and they have got very close, but they will ultimately fail.
Thank you. I would like to invite our listeners, those who have a question for Marilyn, to call in, and certainly she has given us so much information, opened up so many doors, that there should be questions that you would have. So call in with your questions if you would. And I'd like to change subjects a little bit, Marilyn, and I want to discuss a little bit about what it's like on the other side. And you talked about how you were following history. How do souls decide on a path when they're on the other side? What causes them to examine certain facets of consciousness and life?
Firstly, when one crosses over, there is a period of, you might say, orientation of a climate acclimation with the situation in which you find yourself. And there is a review process, you might say, of your life to see how it unfolded relative to what you had planned for your life. But beyond this, really it comes down to the things that are of interest to you. There are those who guide you in the possibilities, the paths you might walk, which are seemingly infinite. Most souls, it seems, choose a path that extends to an extent from their experience of human life. And that in itself can take many, many different directions. But most souls tend to continue a path that expands their knowledge, you might say, in manners that builds on the basis of their experience of having been a human being. And for me, one of the first areas that I was interested to understand was the nature of the human journey, what it meant to be human, how it was that souls came to incarnate on Earth, what was different about Earth from other expressions of consciousness, other dimensions, and so on. And so this fascinated me, and so I chose to walk that path. I have built that understanding, and it is no longer something that I am particularly focused on, but rather I, for the moment, am an observer of the time in which you find yourselves, both the negative aspects and the emerging changes. So you might say I'm witnessing what is unfolding more than I am in any manner directing or being deeply involved with the coming forth of these changes. I am an observer, you might say, a witness.
Thank you. I am curious about another question along a similar line, and that is people's belief that there is a creator of all, one that they call God and all there is, might have other words for it. Did you ever meet an individual like that?
I cannot say that I have met, you might say, that individual, that being, that creator that sits in the center of this cosmos. My focus rather more has been connecting with my monad and getting some orientation from that perspective, though I am aware that there is a creator being in the center of this cosmos. And really, because in part of the kind of work that the two of you have been doing, I, like so many other souls within this cosmos, have come to understand that this cosmos is just one of many cosmoses, and indeed the nature of consciousness and creation extends way beyond this particular cosmos. But my focus, you might say, has been, you could consider it less ambitious. I am aware that an individual soul is able to make that direct connection with the creator of all, but I have not been drawn to. As I say, my connection has been back to my known monad and my desire to understand its role and the roles of the various fingers of consciousness that have come forth from that monad.
Well, that's a big, you're taking on a big project just in that. Have you found all that you wanted to find about your monad?
I am still understanding this. It is immense. And having crossed over, it is much, much easier for me to connect in a very powerful manner with my monad and indeed gain access to all of its knowledge and wisdom. And so it is, as you say, quite an immense task to understand and to comprehend all that has that is represented by my monad and the paths that it has walked, its experience over such an extraordinary expanse of what you might call time and space.
There, thank you. There are probably very few people listening to this show that would understand what a monad is. Can you, in simple terms, describe it in some fashion so they can have some grasp of what we're referring to?
When all there is in the center of the cosmos created souls, souls that he created were very large. And those very large souls are known as monads by some. In other words, the souls that were created by all there is were monads. Now, those monads are, like all there is, far too large to travel out into the cosmos. They are able to bilocate, for example, into aspects of themselves, into some of the higher dimensions, some of the higher levels of consciousness. But when we talk about the context of Earth, the notion of the monad being able to express itself directly in this very dense consciousness is a simple impossibility. And so what it does is it sends forth a few particles of itself, a finger of consciousness, you might consider, an aspect is another term, to incarnate in that consciousness. So it incarnates as a soul of the individual, and it stays for the most part with that individual throughout its life, though indeed it departs and travels elsewhere during the sleep state. And when that individual's life ends, that soul leaves the body, of course, and returns to a higher dimension and begins to travel what you might consider a new journey, which is really an extension of the same journey. And that finger of consciousness does not return to the monad until close to the end of this cycle of Brahma, those very, very long cycles of creation.
Thank you, Marilyn. Richard, before we allow Marilyn to leave, is there any questions that you have of her?
Something that interests me is how she feels about how she is seen in the world today.
Interesting question.
I understand that I have been, to an extent, placed on something of a pedestal. I was fortunate to be able to carry, you might say, a level of beauty, and some of that was natural. A lot of it was carefully crafted. But I had an image which portrayed, you might say, a certain freedom, a certain vitality in the world, you might consider. And in a sense, I think that is a good thing. It did not truly reflect the nature of my life in general, though it certainly did reflect aspects of my life. My life was much more challenging than that image might display. But an image of that nature in the world is not such a bad thing, because it is a positive aspect, a positive image in overall terms. And even though it is such a narrow slice of an individual's life, it carries elements which are not destructive, not negative. And so I am, with all its limits, comfortable with the image that the world continues to carry of me. I am pleased that what is left there is a positive, for the most part, image that people can relate to on some level.
I would agree with that, Marilyn. And one last question. What was, would you say, was the happiest time in your life when you lived on Earth? What stage?
I would say that my happiest time, indeed, was towards the end of my life, when, in my own way, I felt that I was actually providing some support to JFK. It might sound a little bizarre from how the world views him and views the relationships of his life, but I felt I was able to contribute to an individual that I had great respect for, and it was a very exciting time in my life, though also a very difficult time that, as you know, finally led to my demise. But it was in so many ways perhaps the most enjoyable, most exciting, most satisfying time of my life.
That's wonderful. And how did you meet him?
It is a longish story and a short story in ways. As you came to understand from my description earlier, I was, you might say, programmed to an extent. And I was someone who was, you might say, introduced to JFK because of my training. You might say I was a presidential model. And so it was an arranged introduction.
I see. Marilyn, thank you so much for coming forth and giving us all of this very interesting information. I think you've given us all a lot to think about. And Richard, I would like to thank you in a special way for using your talents in bringing all of this forth. You are indeed a master at this.
Thank you, Carolyn. And thank you, Marilyn.
Really. And I would like to mention to our audience that Richard teaches this, to communicate with those on the other side, to communicate with other consciousness. Richard, tell people what website they might go to get more information about what you do.
Yes, we call it Right Brain Magic, and you can find details of this at rightbrainmagic.com.
That's what I like, a simple website. We have maybe 2 minutes to chat. Do you want to mention our DVD with the Templars?
I think you already have. Yes, I must say I continue to be excited by that material and also the interest that people are displaying in it and the feedback we continue to get from those who have received those discs and have watched them and listened to them, because they do seem to be triggering in many people memories of being part of those times, of understandings about so many elements that have been hidden in terms of, for example, who the Templars were and why they were doing what they were doing, how they worked, the extraordinary mystical skills that they had, how they came to build the Gothic cathedrals.
Yeah, that's an amazing story in itself.
For very different purposes than we take them to be today. We take them as being these great
bastions of the Catholic Church. And whilst they were built under the watchful eye of the Catholic Church for their use, their purpose, their ultimate purpose, was had nothing to do with the Catholic Church whatsoever. And in many ways, they are continuing to fulfill that role for which they were created all those years ago. Quite extraordinary.
Richard, we have to go. We have 1 minute.
Well, there you go.
There we go.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you,
for
Richard and Marilyn. And so, good night for now. Until the next time, we look forward to coming back and conversing with someone else, bringing you more information. Good night,
yes,
everyone.
It'll be a couple of weeks because I'm disappearing to Australia for a couple of Saturdays. So we'll have some replays. Good night.